The NCAA men's hockey tournament kicks off in a week, and the UW-Madison team is bringing a secret weapon to the bracket: meditation.
Along with on-ice training and the weight room, the team gets instruction in mindfulness and meditation techniques to get ready for high-pressure situations like a key tournament game.
It's part of a wider effort led by Chad McGeehee, the first ever director of meditation training in major college sports.
He joins us now. Chad McGeehee is director of meditation training at Wisconsin Athletics, founder of Inner Edge Meditation, and honorary fellow at the Center for Healthy Minds at UW-Madison. Chad, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Super excited to be here.
Okay, how does meditation help prepare an athlete for high-pressure moments?
So what we're doing with meditation centrally is we're training the mind. That's what meditation is. And we're taking specific aim at particular skills that we know are going to be important for those high-pressure situations, like the skills of attention. Is my attention where I want it to be? Is it lost in what happened in the past, carried away to what may happen in the future, or is it here for what's happening right now? Is attention trained in a way that's stable and balanced, or is it going to be kind of chaotic in those big moments? So those are a couple of examples that we train for in advance so that they're reliable in those high-pressure situations.
One moment I think of, now you're working with hockey players this semester, but you've worked in basketball in the past. I think of that pivotal free throw toward the end of a basketball game, and it's just you and the entire crowd's looking at you and maybe making noise if it's an away game. I can't imagine having the focus, right, to tune all that out and to just focus on doing the thing that I know how to do. What are some of the things you do to prepare that player?
So we train in advance for that, because we know that's going to happen. We know there's going to be a high consequence free throw at the end of the game. There's going to be 25,000 fans screaming, right? There's going to be a lot on the line. So we train for that in advance. So we can do things like including it into the athlete's pre-shot routine. So these can be little things. You know, if you watch a basketball player, right, they get the ball, take a couple dribbles, and then shoot. Well, that's kind of priming their bodies. What if we also did a couple things to prime the mind? Like bring their attention, maybe before they even get the ball, to feeling their feet making contact with the floor, the weight, the pressure, feel the immediacy. They're giving their attention a job to do. It's present. It's stable. It's not worried about, you know, making up scenarios about what if I miss this shot. There's a lot on the line. Those things that it could get dragged into. Kind of brings attention back, gets it present, gets it in the moment, and then the athlete can then catch the ball, do the couple dribbles, and do the thing that they've done thousands of times and execute at a high level.
So it's a routine, and then in that moment, it goes from this, everything's riding on this shot, to this is a routine shot for me.
I would say yes, it's a routine that we can integrate, and it becomes a quality that's present throughout. So this is where I'm going to nerd out just for a quick second here. Like scientifically, we talk about things as states and traits. So a state is something that is kind of dependent on circumstances. It's here for a little bit and then conditions change and it's gone. So this poise we're talking about to shoot a free throw. So if we include it in the routine, kind of our pre-shot routine, that warms up that state. Well, if we train even outside of that moment, if we're taking time, you know, in the summer when we're doing summer conditioning to train for those skills, we're doing it all the lead up of preseason and then all the lead up through all the games, then that becomes a trait. That capacity to be stable becomes something that's reliant in any condition. So that's kind of the neuroscience of it, where we get to train. We can use it in those high pressure moments, and we can use it in ways that train in advance so that it's available more regularly.
On a practical level, when you start working with a team, what are the exercises? What things are you actually doing?
Yeah, we get to do all sorts of fun things. So some of the things can be, I would ask an athlete, what are you doing every day to train your attention? And their answer usually is silence. Like they're doing nothing. So great, let's start. Let's get some things going. So we can do things like using various anchors. So anchors are simply present moment experiences that we shift our attention to. So an anchor could be something like the sensation of breathing or sensations in the body, or it could be an external anchor like a visual anchor or sound. But we take some time every day to be able to train our attention to be present with that anchor. And then inevitably what happens, the mind wanders off. It starts to go to anything, right? Something in the future, something in the past, some random memory from 15 years ago. And the key is people need to realize that that's not a problem. That's just what the mind does. The mind's going to wander off. So then we notice that, and then we choose to bring it back to the anchor. whatever that anchor may be. So we're kind of getting in those reps for attention to be where we want it to be. So we do a variety of practices that explore these different anchors. Some of them are more what we call stillness practices, where the body's not moving, or we do movement practices, which you can imagine are really popular with athletes. I think really popular with a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. We can do these practices in ways that integrate it into everyday activities. But the take home is we want to have something that we're doing to train these skills, attention and other skills, in a regular way early on.
I'm trying to picture this through the mind of a high-level incoming student athlete thinking, all right, I'm at practice. I want to be out on the ice. I want to be in the weight room. And you're telling me I'm taking time to meditate? How much of a sales job is there that you have to do to get athletes on board?
There's definitely a sales job part of it. So there's a couple ways that we're able to get at that. Well, one is...
I guess coach tells them to listen to you.
Well, I would say coach tells them to listen, but coach believes in it. And that's where I was going to start. And I think, Rob, that's mission critical. In some of the environments where this has really taken root, like with Coach Hastings in men's hockey, or like with Kelly Sheffield in volleyball, Yvette Healy in softball, other environments, the coach not only buys into it, sees the value of it, but they've experienced the value of it themselves. And so they're saying, hey guys, hey women, we're going to bring this into our environment because it matters for us. And so that relationship is huge for the ongoing integration. And then from the ongoing sort of sales, kind of how do we set this up? Some of the ways we go about that is we talk about it as strength and conditioning for the mind. So every athlete knows that they're going to spend an inordinate amount of time training their bodies so that it can perform well in the big moments, but they're not doing that same training for their mind. And so they see that as a gap. And these are people who are very driven, high-performance folks who are not going to want to leave these gaps unattended to. That's leaving performance to chance. So they're going to want to train for those things. And then we can get into more areas. Like we can get into some of the research, you know, some of the science that we've published. And as somebody who's a co-author on these papers, that brings a lot of credibility. Say, okay, this isn't just Chad woke up in the morning and decided what he wanted to talk about. This is peer-reviewed scientific research. And then we get into other populations where this is happening too. And I can reference doing this work with pro athletes, reference doing this work with SWAT teams. I go to Quantico quarterly and train with the FBI National Academy. So they say, okay, culturally, this is appropriate. It's grounded in scientific research, and this is going to get me better. By that point, they're ready to rock and roll.
Chad McGeehee is with us, Director of Meditation Training at Wisconsin Athletics, talking about meditation and how it can prepare our minds for difficult experiences. Now, not everybody's going to be, you know, an athlete at the NCAA level. Not everybody's in SWAT teams or the other groups you've worked with. What kind of things, though, can we take from meditation? We're all going to deal with some kind of stressful situation in our lives. What kind of things can we use meditation for so that our minds are ready for those situations?
Rob, one of the things that's really fascinating is my work's primarily been in these performance environments for the past 10 years. But what I'm working with human beings who just happen to do things in performance environments. We've all got a mind. We've all got emotions. We've all got thoughts. So we can all benefit from this sort of training. So a couple things come to mind. I think one is a little bit of what we talked about kind of with like the attention and stability and kind of being in that eye of the hurricane. A related skill is what we call it decentering. It's the ability to not believe all the thoughts that are coming through our mind, not believing all the stories as reality. They're just one interpretation of things. And when we create some space around that, then we can see, okay, these particular thoughts or these particular stories are useful, and some of them aren't. They just get us caught in rumination or worrying about the future, so we learn to create some space to let go of those things. But then there's a whole other area of training. What we've been talking about thus far is kind of in the awareness or kind of mindfulness bucket of training, which is really powerful, and there's plenty more to explore there. But there's whole other aspects of training that include more kind of teamwork, interpersonal, pro-social qualities. How do we show up and relate to our teammates? And that can be obviously a sport teammate or colleague or friend or family member. And how do we relate to folks in ways that not everyone's going to be our best friend? Not everyone's going to have an easy relationship with, but how can we find ways to develop a relationship with them, training our mind for qualities like appreciation? And here, appreciation, we're operationalizing it as a definition of noticing the good that is already there. Not toxic positivity, not pretending things are good, but actually just noticing those things that are already there. So then we can get into all these other areas of training that set us up for better relationships to have with ourselves, with our teammates, so that ultimately we're able to achieve the objectives that are ahead of us, whether it's in sport, business, you know, personal life, in our communities.
One thing that struck me, I saw a talk you did a few weeks back. You looked at the value of meditation and mindfulness training for things like resilience. And I think there was a recovery from injury chart, things like that. Bad things will happen to us. How can we use these kind of meditation techniques to come back from those moments.
Yeah, so the question isn't how do we get rid of every difficulty in our life? And that's true for all of us. We're humans, difficulties coming. And for people who have chosen to try to do really challenging things, like win national championships, be on SWAT teams, or even I think about myself, like being a dad, being a husband, trying to have a career, like things come up. So the question isn't how do we get rid of every difficulty in our way? The question then becomes, what are we doing to train the mind for greater resilience so we can come back down to our baseline, which is a sense of readiness, a sense of preparedness to be able to do what we need to do. So the data there, the science there is really interesting. We see things like in fMRIs, we see the part of the brain that's responsible for perception of pain react differently in folks who have done this training versus folks who haven't. Folks who haven't done this training, these parts of the brain light up when they think a negative event is coming, as if it were actually here, versus folks who have done more extended periods of this training are able to say, oh, that's just the thought of adversity coming. That's not the actual adversity. And then they come back to baseline and don't experience the anxiety of it or the aftermath of it in the same way, thus have way more resources to be able to do their best.
Chad, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Rob. Thank you so much.
That's Chad McGeehee, Director of Meditation Training at Wisconsin Athletics. He's been working this semester with UW-Madison men's hockey team.